Episode 75, Reporting the Hobby with Cage Lawyer of The Hobby with Cage in Cage 6, Part 2. Welcome to the Car Diary by Hobby S. Thompson podcast. I am your host, Denny Cards. Thank you so much for tuning in because, wow, 3/4 of a century number of episodes. And this is a special one. It's a second part of a two-parter with my conversation with Cage Lawyer. And to set the scene, I want to say that if you're not listening to the Hobby with Cage podcast or catching him on YouTube, yet you say that you love this hobby, you might just be doing yourself a disservice. Because here's the thing. Some of us content creators, and I'll definitely include myself, we have the knowledge, but we can't talk out of a bag. Actually, no, not this part. But, or we sound so monotone and have little to no entertainment value that it can literally put you to sleep, or at least it literally puts me to sleep. Then you have content creators or podcasters or what have you. And this is the part where it resonates with me, I think. We have the entertainment value, but it's all sizzle, no steak, no protein, no actual information or education. And I say that in jest because I hope to think that I bring some information or education. But, you know, it's I don't think I sound monotone. I think maybe in the beginning I did because I was maybe just so nervous or kind of tight. But I feel like I'm leaning more into myself with the podcast. And yet, here's the thing. I don't have enough reps yet. I really don't, even at 75 episodes. If I'm being honest with myself, I think that I can do better and I want to do better and I want to hear from all of you as to how I can do better with this podcast. But the thing with someone like Cage, or maybe not someone like Cage, but actually Cage Lawyer, you get both in spades. You get the entertainment value, you get the knowledge base, you get the experience, the history. I just find him to be really good at what he does. And so if you aren't listening to this, I think a lot of you may already listen to him and you are listening to mine. This podcast is like a, you know, secondary, tertiary, whatever it is, right? But I think with him, you really do get the, I don't know what to call it, the cadence, the tone, the style. And it really resonates with me. I think his podcast or his content has really, it inspires me, influences me, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's kind of funny though, because, you know, one thing I wanted to say in this intro part is he and I have two very different approaches to engagement on social media. Okay. And I've actually made a post about this, about my side of things, not his side, but just my side. And it's that I block people on Instagram and he doesn't, or he says he does not. So, you know, my joke was I don't block like Wembanyama. Maybe, you know, I want to be more like Dikembe Mutombo or for those of you 90s heads who remember the name Mark Eaton, E-A-T-O-N. He was a really good chalk blocker, but really nothing else. What I'm starting to realize, though, is that much as I want to block people who, you know, so I can curate my own feed and my own experience and just, you know, just get rid of the trolls. It's, you can't really block people from every social media channel or ways and means to communicate with you. I mean, I guess I could try, right? Little by little. I think there is some ways that I can, at first I didn't think you could block on YouTube, but now I realize maybe you can hide users or something like that. But people can also create alt accounts, burner accounts, and this podcast. There is no way that I can block people from listening to this podcast. And then, you know, Cage, like, he will talk with anyone. I mean, that's one of the things that I found so, not inspiring, but more of like impressive, is that he would engage with all sorts of people of all, you know, all perspectives. And, you know, I definitely don't want to create for myself like this echo chamber, but, you know, I also don't have time to deal with people who are just disrespectful or not civil or, you know, not respectful. So anyway, Went on a little tangent there, but the main thing I wanted to say, and this is giving Cage his flowers, is yeah, he inspires and influences me to do better in the hobby, and I hope he does for you as well. And here's the main thing I wanted to say in this intro. I'm going to admit something that only a very small group of people know about, and he and I alluded to it in our talk. And so here it is. When I had my idea for this podcast, I shopped it around to two podcast networks, the ones that I was familiar with, the ones where I was binging their podcast content. I liked the hosts. It seemed like they wanted to expand. And it was funny because, you know, it was supposed to be a mini series, like 12 episodes. I pitched it like, hey, you know, it's going to be maybe not like Serial, but like kind of like here are the 12 different ways to engage in the hobby. And I want to do something, you know, do a monologue episode and then maybe interview someone. So maybe 24 episodes, but something like really small. I don't know. I think maybe I was, and I wanted to partner with the podcast network because I wanted to get their reach, right? I wanted to like, not like shortcut, but I was afraid of growing something from zero and starting organically like myself. I wanted to attach myself to someone who would give me immediate, I don't know, credibility or stature, whatever it is. So one of those two networks was the Luka Tigers and LeBron's network. And, you know, I've already talked to Cage about it. He doesn't mind that I talk about this. We didn't talk about it on the air, but yeah, he's like, yeah, sure, we can talk about any of this. So back when Cage was with Andrew and doing their daily podcast, and they had other podcasts fall under their umbrella. And I reached out, I pitched it by DM or email, and I had a great chat with Andrew. But probably within a month or so, I can't remember exactly the timeline, you know, he was out of the hobby. And I don't want to get into that whole situation. It's one of those, you know, if you know, you know type of things. But Cage pivoted from that, and he continues on with his quality programming, mostly solo. And after the National, we talked about it. We talked about perhaps doing a podcast together, like a mini series or something, you know, just to kick the tires. And I will very much admit that I got overwhelmed with post-National offers or discussions. I know so many people are keeping about the cards, but I just, a lot of my hobby time turned into, you know, talking to people, you know, privately, private discussions. And I think the reason people do appreciate talking with me privately is I don't divulge the, you know, I don't break the confidentiality or like, you know, I think that is an instant way to lose credibility or lower your reputation, is to just kind of talk about what's supposed to be a private conversation. But anyway, I sat on that offer from Cage on my hands. I was very like honored. Sorry, I'm not getting choked up on that, I promise. But I felt bad because Cage was patiently waiting, and then he had to move on. I mean, you know, he just wasn't gonna keep that offer open forever. So he did, and then, you know, he had to come up with Cage, and I was like listening to it. I enjoyed it, but I was like, man, like, could that have been with me, and could we have had it? And you know, a lot of thoughts went through my head at that time, but I was very much overwhelmed. And it's funny because some people, including the person I'm about to talk about right now next, you know, it was just a lot of who is this person? Why would you even do that with him? And I don't know. It was just too much. Anyway, the second one, this may come as a shock to some of you. The first part may have been a shock, right? Because you're like, what do you mean? Like, you could have had a podcast with Cage. But even less people know about this one. But it's true. I mean, it very much is true. I reached out to the sports card therapist about his Wolfpack network, and I pitched my podcast idea to him. And again, not betraying the confidences about like what we privately talked about, but in general, it seemed that there was interest, but as you all may know from back in that time, he said that he had, you know, there was a new podcast that that the Wolfpack Network had picked up with a new podcaster, and this was early 2023. It was before the National, And, you know, I won't mention the podcast name or the person, but, you know, if you kind of, again, it's one of those, if you know type of situations. But, you know, it seemed as if there was not a desire to expand too much too soon type of thing. So I respected the decision. But again, this is pre-national. And then what happens? I forget what month, October or November, but the whole mega bid thing happened. And again, it wasn't just the mega bid, but it was how the mega bid was attempted to be explained away and rationalized, which I think is a very human thing to do, human nature thing to do, but also coupled with the thing that kind of, yeah, like hurt me, or, you know, a lot of people felt betrayed, was he just ghosted everyone, right? And I've talked about that in the past in a prior episode as to how I felt with that. So I'm not going to get into all that right now, but yeah, I pitched this podcast idea as a, you know, 12-part or 24-part, whatever, mini series. And I'm glad now, you know, in hindsight, that it didn't get picked up, so that I can own the, I'm not even say IP of this, but, like, you know, I get to do this without having to worry about any transitions or is something going to get deleted. Because as we know, all those podcast episodes and YouTubes under Sports Card Therapist and the, you know, whatever, the Wolfpack Network, were, they were all gone. They're just completely deleted. And so, I don't know, like, I just feel like I dodged something there. And so those are the two big things. And people who are listening, who know me, you know, who's not a newer listener, but someone who's stuck with me since day one, even for some of you, all of this may come as a big surprise. And I've gone way too much long. I wanted to keep this under 10 minutes, but I definitely wonder sometimes the what if, right? Like, what if this, what if that? And I love the What If series with, like, Marvel and, you know, all that stuff. But I've also wondered, would this podcast be better with a co-host? Do I want to co-host a podcast? You know, spin this off, just end the Card Diary kind of project or style of just monologuing and then interviewing people by myself. I listen to other podcasts and I hear, because I can't really see unless it's YouTube, but I hear the camaraderie and I hear the jovial nature, and I enjoy that. And I remember really enjoying that with Andrew and Cage. So I think that when I had Cage on, I really enjoyed our talk. I hope it showed in part one. I hope it shows in part two. And so I really appreciate Cage and his time. And so I think I've said enough. Let's get right into part two of our chat.
I don't even see his cards. Does he even collect? You even collect, bro? Like, it should be a shirt, right? Like,
yeah, Denny, no cards.
Yeah, Denny, no cards. Cards. Yeah, no cards. He doesn't even know cards. He's got, yeah, no Denny. Denny, no cards. That's what you were called.
Yeah, see? Yeah, so, I was called that in a stream. Yeah, absolutely.
So that, I mean, there's the attack. What I would say to you is this: you got to ignore that shit, but you also have to expect that it's going to come, right? You got. Uh-huh. I mean, you really do, right? There is no way of running this race clean. Mm-hmm. There's no way of doing it. What I mean by that is not you can be clean, but you're going to get dirt thrown at you from the other racers, from the people in the stands, from wherever it is. You're going to get – people are going to be chucking stuff at you because it's just the way it is, man. And, you know, what I have found, mm-hmm, – here's the advice section, is you got to listen to it. You got to hear it. You got to take it in. You got to remember it, but just let it be. Let it be. Because the more you now do an episode about I'm Denny No Cards, the more you do an episode about, hey, here's my cards, here's my this, the more, yeah, I come back and, you know, I'm not negative. You know, come on now. Look how positive I am. Joker smile on, you know.
The Joker smile, yeah.
The more it's the more oxygen you're given to that fire.
Yeah, I've heard of that. You know what I mean? Don't give them so oxygen.
It really is the, you know, that's what I would tell you, you know, if you're asking for advice, which you didn't ask for, but I'm giving you anyway.
Yeah,
because,
yeah,
you know, right. You're part of what I was talking about. There is no one way to do this, right? Mm-hmm, Am I going to grow a mustache and do all those face to camera type of things that like Coach Co does? No friggin' way, right? No way. Man. But it works for him and people like it, right? Yeah, yeah. Am I going to do all the auction content that Jay Lee does? I mean, that dude has more sponsors than, you know, than a NASCAR. I'm like Ricky Bobby. I race for me. You know what I mean? Like, but it works. Obviously, people pay attention to it. It works for him. You know, and I just threw a little dirt at him. Look at that. I'm Ricky Bobby. But this is the point, right? You do you. Do what you want to do. And by the way, for everybody listening who's not making content, just collecting, that same thing goes for your collecting, right? Mm. Just run your race. Just do your thing. Just buy what you want to buy. Don't even me. Don't listen to me. I'm selling cards. That doesn't mean I'm telling you to sell your cards.
Right.
But I didn't do an episode of what I'm buying or what came in the mail that day. If you want to see that, let me know. I'll do some. Mm-hmm. But just do your own thing. Don't get so like crazy about what other crap is going on outside because it's so much.
So you're telling me not? I don't have to take the horse steroids. No. I don't have to get the shot. but I will get dirty. You know, I really appreciate that. I haven't thought about it like that that way. Thank you. I your advice. I mean, your words mean a lot to me. Again, for your time to be here.
Well,
I
know dude, people don't know you, right? They get to meet you during the you know your podcast. They get to see what you want to see of them. I'll tell you, I met Denny, you know, we talked and stuff, but I mean, we were at the National. Yes, dude, it was the most selfless person in the world. Like, hey, you mind if I just kind of like tag around a little bit? You want me to just walk around? Hey, I'll take some pictures and the whole, it was amazing, right? Yeah, don't lose that.
No, I won't. Keep doing that. Right. No, the thing is, one thing, and I won't mention who, but like they actually, I don't know, in a way got annoyed that I was like tagging or following along. But you know, if I knew that they were upset about it, I would have stopped. But you know, I just wanted to kind of go walk around, talk to people, but it's hard to stay in one place. In the National, you're always moving, you're always walking somewhere to something, from something. And the
bring
way
the
to
baby powder.
The way to talk to people is you got to walk with them. That's so right. With you and other people, it wasn't just you, wasn't just one or two other people, but if I'm walking with you and I see that you need or want something, or if I can help you out in some way, whether it is specifically requested or in my case, like I'll just videotape something where you can use it as content and I'll just send it to you. Why not? Like I'm with my camera all the time. You know, now with smartphones, you always have your camera. So I'm walking around. By the way, dude,
40 minutes in, there's some good stuff here, but I hate to tell you, I might have used stream out enough. You forgot to hit record.
Yes, I that red
didn't.
Button.
I didn't get him. I didn't even get you one bit. I didn't get
you past. I feel like I've gotten better with this. I mean, I used to like I used to really just have no clue. Like I'm new to all of this. Like I pay this stupid, you know, StreamYard $20 a month, whatever it is, and like I haven't very little bit. I have monetized, and it's not to become rich. It's to literally recoup the expenses of creating content, which people don't understand. There is an expense.
I haven't made a dollar in 2024 off this hobby.
That's something we could talk about for sure. But the thing is, like, I just, you know, it's funny. You got the golden rule thing. Okay. Yeah. Let me say this. There are some people, you can call them sadists or masochists. I forget. I always forget which one's which, but there are some people who want to be treated like dirt. And so they will treat other people like dirt because, hey, I want to be treated bad. And it's like, that sucks. So there is a thing called the platinum rule, which is treat people the way they ask you to treat them or something like that. I don't know. But for me, once I get to know someone, and I've met so many people in this hobby in a short amount of time, and I am starting to slowly weed out the people where I'm like, you know what, the ulterior motives here are not, they're not pure. And you don't have to be pure, right? I don't even like the whole term pure collector. What is this, like, you know, Hogwarts and Half-Bloods and Muggles and all that?
Wow.
Like,
see, that's funny. That's where you go. You hear the word pure and you go to Harry Potter. I'm thinking Tony Montana is puro, man.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about cutting drugs, you know? I mean, totally different. Our brains are wired. You're thinking about a children's book, and I'm thinking about, you know, cutting cocaine. It's great.
This is why we should have gone with the collaboration we would have done in the past. But
I just feel, you know, that would have been a crazy, can you imagine that mashup, you know, like how they do this reboots and all that and like different, you know, the
I got to start prequels. Doing it. This is fun. I enjoy the back and forth. First of all, the most fun I'm having is when you talk, I get to drink a little bit of soda. So that's
absolutely
good. That alone. Absolutely. I mean, forget, I could stay caffeinated for an hour by taking a break here and there and a breath. But no, I mean, listen, it's fun to be challenged.
Yes.
You know, I'll talk about running my race and you know, you're not going to let me get away with that. But I mean, it's just, you know, even just talking about basketball, I could say, oh, Zion looks good. And you'd be like, no way. He's going to be back at Popeyes in a week. Yeah. You know, I mean, there is something to be said about a point counterpoint type of stuff. So
absolutely. So what I want to say to that, though, is when it comes to the hobby, how do I even say it? Like you have the See now this is where I'm kind of getting a little bit stuck because you're like, you're giving me too much platitudes and I don't like it. I need to stay hungry. You got to like
stay hungry more. That's it. Stay hungry. No, I mean, you do, right? I mean, because you're only as good as what you do that day. I happen to be recording this now where, you know, I come off a video where, you know, it's my most watched video as a solo here in the first 24 hours. It's pretty awesome. Maybe for the wrong reasons. You know, maybe people thought I was actually like leaving and they were like, shit, we got to click that. He's saying he's selling. I'm not selling all my cards. I sold one card this weekend, but I wanted to go into my thought process as to why, because it's a card I didn't think I was going to sell, not at least not now, and why I did, and what my thoughts are on the market. And I guess there are enough people out there who thought the same way and shared it with somebody else. And by the way, you're doing the same thing, and other content creators are as well. And, you know, I have a lot of conversations after an episode like that, and my last three or four have been a lot more like realism, a lot more here's where my brain is, here's where my heart is, here's what my thoughts are about the overall hobby, while still mixing in that I acknowledge there are people who are going to make a lot of money in this hobby in the next couple of years, just probably not the way that I'm doing it, right? That's why I think the way I think, but I can't tell you, dozens of DMs. I can't believe, you know, you were saying exactly what I was thinking. This is exactly how my brain has been for the last 2 months or 3 months. Or, hey, not only, you know, have I been thinking it, but I have been selling some stuff here and there, you know, to have a little less exposure to this, and this. I've been, you know, auditing my collection. There's so many DMs that are right. Look, I got a couple that were like, you're an idiot. Now's not the time to sell. You don't sell low and then try to buy high. Like, you're not going to buy stocks now. They're at the all-time high. Your cards are at the low. And, you know, I mean, sure, I get that too. And that's great. You know, I have tried to have a conversation with that person as well. But yeah, I mean, dude, you gotta keep putting out stuff that's got some value to it. And, you know, stuff like that, while not everyone wants to hear it. And while I know a lot of people who own hobby businesses who also sent me DMs and like, hey, Cade, what are you doing? You're like, what's with the curmudgeon? You know, like we need some, you know, positivity on this stuff. What are you doing here? And I'm like, this is just what I'm I'll be positive next week when I feel positive, you know, you know, like this is what I'm thinking. And trust me, people want to hear it. They're thinking the same way.
I'll say it very matter of factly. Stocks have no sentimental value.
True.
Cards do, right? So a card, at least in my opinion, I don't know, there could be many sets of value, but I think they have two sets of value, monetary and sentimental.
I love it.
Right?
So let me take it. You ready?
Yeah.
So I owned, going into this weekend, I owned two Shaquille O'Neal cards. Two. Mm-hmm. That's all I owned, right? I owned a PMG.
I was just about to say, one of them is like the best Shaqs in the world, but go ahead. Yeah.
And I owned his 1992 Upper Deck draft pick, not the trade one, the draft pick, one that's got three Shaqs, Duncan, Carter one, in a PSA 10.
Nice.
To me, that card has way more nostalgia than the PMG does. Mm-hmm. And that will be the card that I own still of Shaq next week instead of the PMG. So I sold the PMG. Now, I'm not telling you, oh, go run and sell your BMGs. Well, that's not it. It's just, it's funny. You talk about nostalgia. I did that same calculation in my brain. I enjoy owning the Upper Deck one more than I enjoyed owning the PMG, because when the PMG came out, I was in college. Like, I was, you know, I was buying kegs and doing other stuff. I wasn't buying cards. It's just life, right?
Yeah.
You know, if I were a couple years younger, it'd be probably a very different calculus. So, you know, that's just me.
I was going to save this thought or concept for like a monologue episode, but I want to tease it with you. And it's clear I just need you on more often.
Whenever you want, man.
We almost had a podcast. I mean, I won't get into that right now. But
fine. You got to change the name. It's Thompson and Cage.
Many people. Yes, I do, for sure. It would have to be a different gimmick, right? Cage 6, Car Diary, Rum Diary, all this, like Page 6. Like,
I just came up with that.
I love Cage 6. I love it.
Absolutely. By the way, Hobby News and Cage 6. one take every time. And if it comes out like stuttering or whatever it is, it's just what I do. I just don't really have time to do.
I do shoot. I won't say 100% of the time. I would say probably nine times out of 10, it is a one take for me as well. Recently, I think I've gotten into my head a little bit too much. And it goes into the whole criticism and like the internal monologue you get. But okay, I will just ask you this question and run with it. I just set up the bowling pins. You knock them down, okay?
All right. 7-10 split coming up.
Is nostalgia enough to carry the hobby for someone like us, like a 40-year-old middle-aged person, right? For someone who's newer, there is no nostalgia. There is no history. But for us who collected in the past, is that just the pure sense of nostalgia? Is that enough? Or does that eventually wear off and you kind of get bored with the hobby? Is it enough?
So I'm an asshole. And I'm trained to answer the question that is posed.
Yes.
So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to answer the question you thought you were asking.
Just don't say it depends. That's the worst. It depends is the worst answer.
The answer to your question is yes.
Yeah.
Your question is nostalgia enough for people like us to carry the hobby? The answer to that is yes. Because for me, right now, everything about the hobby is nostalgia. Not just for me, but harkening back to me being involved in cards with my own father and now bringing my son into the equation adds another layer of nostalgia to me that I will not stop. I don't really care, right? Like every Friday for the last now more than 4 years, I've opened something with my son. If I'm on vacation, I bring something with us, and that Friday we're opening, you know, like, you know, absolutely. Whether it's a fat pack or whatever it is, and then we open something when we get back. It is now something that has become, you know, part of the routine. I have, you know, core memories of opening packs with my dad, you know what I mean? And he is now getting packs and opening packs with the kids on the block. There's no store that he can ride his bike to like I used to do, but that alone, that nostalgia, great. For the cards themselves, yes, right? For you and I. Mm-hmm. The answer to the question you're trying to ask is nostalgia enough to bring it? The answer is no for the masses. Right. So if we're just hoping that the hobby is here and grows and continues to go through this kind of boom cycle and, you know, big business cycle and money cycle where it's going to support all the content that we're all making, support all the businesses that are coming in, the tech expansion, the money, nostalgia is an important component. It's an important and I would say necessary ingredient, but it alone is not enough. And the nostalgia part, what's funny about it is, it's very different than what we are seeing the hobby grow into now, right? I did an episode on this, and there's nothing wrong with it, right? Because it depends on what you have nostalgia for. I just talked about a Shaquille O'Neal card, right? The reason why that Shaq has nostalgia for me is because I remember the frenzy of people opening packs to try to get one. Yeah. I remember 1992, people trying to open packs to get Shaq. I remember trying to get beam teams out of packs. We weren't looking for Jordan. We were looking for Shaq, right?
Yep.
And I remember that. I remember the nostalgia of that. Now, I don't know with breaking whether it's going to have the same type of nostalgia. The nostalgia for me is, like I said, getting on my bike, riding to the store with friends, you know, to a store that was close by and opening packs and, you know, grabbing a soda and a slice of pizza and we're going through our cards and trading them. And I got this guy and I don't know whether or not today's version, which is bounty hunting online, an individual act for the most part, sometimes late at night, akin to online blackjack for some, I don't know whether that will have the same nostalgia. That said, there's a lot more eyes, a lot more content creation, a lot more interesting stuff going on around it. And look, the Bronny card is going to sell for a pittance compared to what people thought it was going to sell for. But that's a card that maybe in 20 years, the kids who are 8, 10, 15, whatever age they are now, who remember the frenzy about that card and the Tom Brady card and all the marketing around it and all those stuff, maybe that's a nostalgia-driven thing for them the next time this cycle happens. And like, I remember the LeBron triple logo and Drake coming into the hobby. And I remember Steve Aoki smashing cakes in people's faces. For me, that's not something I'm going to get nostalgia about, right? But maybe for the next generation, that is what draws them back in. it's an interesting thing, right? Because I can tell you, I talk to people. I'll do it for you because I didn't do an episode about it, right? But I got a mail day about an hour before we started recording. Check it out. Nice little PSA box over here, right?
There we go. So yeah.
I just got in. Here's a cool thing. I bought it without being PSA celeb, so I just got back from PSA. Like, to me, this is a cool piece. This is I knew it was Type 1, but this is a picture of Ted Williams in 1944. He's playing baseball. But what's cool about this is, and you'll talk about a piece of America, he's wearing his Navy uniform. This is when he took a break from the Red Sox in 1944 when the dude was the best player in the game. And he went to the Navy, and he was a fighter pilot in the war. And you got the whole back of it here. It tells you the date it was taken, where it was in Pensacola, Florida, at the U.S. Naval Station, June 1st. He's playing baseball for the Navy baseball team. Like, this, it cost me a few $100 and $50 bucks to get it encapsulated. But to me, this is a cool piece. And I remember talking to my dad about DiMaggio and Ted Williams, and you know, there was a potential trade for the two of them. The Yankees were going to trade DiMaggio to the Red Sox and get Ted Williams back, and it was going to be like perfect for the Red Monster versus perfect for Ted Williams, you know, hitting left fielder to the Yankees, you know, right field seats, and it never happened. And you know, comparing the players, and you know, to me, that's nostalgia. You know, that's enough. Like, that's enough. I will carry it for. I don't know what you know these kids are going to have nostalgia for, and. The interesting part for me, man, is I see my son and he wants to play Fortnite. You know, he wants to play video games and he wants to, you know, do Pokemon Go. And, you know, I don't know if the same stuff is going to, you know, carry forward now, because I just don't know the answer, you know. Not a depends, but there was a lot there. For me, that's sure.
Really good.
For many people, sure. I mean, I'm not leaving. Right. I'm going to continue to find more stuff like this. Right. I think I did a piece on this, but PSA just slammed it. Lucky for me, it is a Type 1. But the other thing that I got back was, did you know that Babe Ruth played for LA?
What? What is that?
No way. Babe Ruth playing for LA. Pretty cool, right?
That's Babe Ruth. That's not like.
Awesome, right. That was LA before there was LA. This is 1927. 1927. Babe Ruth, LA. Wow. So anyway, this is from a movie called Babe Comes Home. It was a Type 1 photo while they were filming, and that movie is now lost. You can't even see the movie, Babe Comes Home. It's like a movie that's like lost to time. But I think that's awesome. Like I tell, Babe Ruth played for LA. No, he didn't. But look at that. You know,
nice.
Those are cool things. They didn't break the bank, you know, and it's fun. I have a ton of like Type 1 photos and cool stuff like that that I enjoy.
Are we so stressed out because the stakes are so much higher? Because of the money
look at you taking it back on task, man. Are we so stressed out because the stakes are higher? Yes, 100%. 100%. And it shouldn't be stressful, but it's a great way to ask the question, right? Because people are coming here for different reasons, right? And I think the people that I talk to, and you say, you know, where did I build this up? The people I talk to, like me, might have gotten caught up in the high stakes. And maybe it came back in COVID because it's something you remembered as a youth. But you saw, wow, if I buy the right stuff, the price is going to go up and I can buy more of the right stuff and I can do this. And look, these people are doing the Flippy Dippy game. And this guy's going to the show and he's buying this RPA of a quarterback and selling it 2 weeks later for more money. And this guy's doing this over here. And you kind of take a peek. You take a peek into that other lane. I think that caused the stress. And a lot of what I've been talking about in my recent episodes, which, you know, people want to call darker, people want to call, you know, most people call realistic, is recentering. I even did one called the hobby multiverse, which I think a lot of people have already stayed away from, right? But but the point was, you can hobby and all of a sudden, like, wow, I'm Spider-Man in another universe, right? I'm this version of Spider-Man. I'm supposed to be a guy who's enjoying my vintage baseball cards because that's what I love, and maybe my 80s stuff. But all of a sudden, I'm buying PMGs and rubies, and I'm buying these cards because that's what everybody likes, and those are the ones that everybody says are going to be great. All of a sudden, I like Kabooms. I hated Kabooms for 4 years, and now I'm buying LeBron Kabooms. Like, every once in a while, you got to get back into your own universe, and the stress disappears.
I know you didn't take it from me because you don't listen to my podcast, but I also analogize the hobby to the multiverse. The
get out of here.
Spider-Man. Yeah, I did.
Reddit
my thing was... My thing was, before the National last year, where you and I met, and you saved my life because I was going into traffic, or not traffic, but like some parking thing, and I was literally DMing you. I was DMing you, and you were like, hey, watch out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Cage. But like at that point, he's like, watch out. There's a car behind me.
I'm swerving, you know, I'm like walking like on my phone while walking in on my phone. And
I mean, I should have let it happen. You would have went viral. Yeah. You would have even more followers. So,
so, I think there are some people who would have loved that, who wish that I didn't take away their attention economy. But the concept of the multiverse for me was I am Miles Morales, but so are other people. Or maybe I'm not Miles Morales, but I'm a Spider-Man in my own universe. And there are other Spider-Men in other universes, and they are their own Spider-Man, whether they're Miles Morales or whatever. But we're all going to converge onto the national like that. You know that Spider-Man meme where there's like two or three of them, but then in the more recent movies, there's like 100 of them pointing at each other. It's kind of like that. It's like we're all Spider-Men converging on the national. So the reason I bring that up is like I love that, you know, just – I used to watch a lot of movies. I used to watch a lot of TV, and now the hobby just completely consumed all my time. But it really is like, I love how you are able to take just a little shred or a concept and just blow it up into a whole episode. I feel like I had like 20 questions for you. I haven't got to the first or second one, but just in the conversation that we're doing, like, I mean, I know we got to go in like 2 minutes.
Well, I'm going to see if I can buy us like 10 minutes. Just give me a sec there. Go ahead, ask away.
No, I mean, like, you know, just bringing up your father. Like, I've heard a lot about your Friday afternoon rips with your son, Ian. And, you know, you've talked about fatherhood and, like, you know, that stuff weighs on me all the time. It's just like, am I a better or worse parent because of the hobby? Like, I got so much in my head, you know, like someone will be talking to me and I'm just, you know, whether it's my wife or kids or someone else. But like, I'm just in my head. I'm like, man, like, I want to make that piece of content. How do I, you know, and it's like, I'm not giving them my full attention and I feel so bad. But then there's this other part of me where it's like, I feel so enriched by the hobby and I feel so creative with the hobby that it makes me happier. And doesn't a happier parent parent better and make their kids happier? And so there's this struggle that I have. And so when you talk about, you know, your relationship with your father, which I haven't heard as much in your content. Mm-hmm. And I did want to ask about that is, you know, I've heard so much the generational bond you get, you know, down the family tree, but what about up the family tree? So like, did your grandfather collect too? Did your father collect with his grandfather? Like,
I mean, listen, I don't come from much. My dad actually died at 55 years old. I was young when he passed. So, you know, it's one of those things where I don't really have too many memories. He never saw me get married. He never met, you know, his grandkids. You know, big dude, not a healthy dude. But you know, one of the things that I do remember with him, you know, was we always went to card shows. We set up at card shows. You know, we had tables at card shows. He and I, and you know, well, he was a gambler at heart. It's a little scary thing, right? So that's you know, that's one of those things that kind of, you know, ties in with you know, with the hobby. You know, consistently gambling. Like, because of him, I met Donald Trump.
Interesting. You know? Did not think we're gonna go here.
Yeah. I met Donald Trump.
How long ago?
You know, we were at his hotel, you know, and my father was losing enough money that we got to have breakfast with Donald Trump and Marla Maples at the time.
You had breakfast with him.
I've never heard
of this. I've consumed all
the Kenny Rogers before. and his son. We played basketball. There's a little basketball court up.
Get out of here.
Yeah, what? A lot of fun. That should tell you just how much money my father was losing. but the gambling, what's funny is, like a lot of people, gambling and the hobby go hand in hand. I mean, you've seen Seablez's content recently. And, you know, it's one of those things, right? A lot of people who have that gambling gene and then they go to breaking, they go to cards. My father was no different. I mean, I loved, you know, opening packs. He loved opening packs even more. You know what I mean? It was like, all right, let's go. You know, we're going to buy this box and we're going to open it. We're going to hope we hit that jackpot. You know, it's pretty crazy how, you know, how it's still the same kind of thing. So, I mean, it's funny to talk about that. You talk about, you know, is it healthy? There are plenty aspects of the hobby that might not be the most healthy family thing. The gambling aspect is one. You know, we talk about ripping with my son. My son, you know, he likes to go to shows and sell his cards, right? He likes to, you know, rip and flip and, you know, like do his other fun stuff. And, you know, for a minute, you know, my wife's like, what are we, you know, what is he doing? Yeah. You know, he's going to shows and he's doing his stuff. He's kind of hustling. Like, is this what you want your 10-year-old doing? And I'm like, he's learning a lot of good stuff. Like, you got to balance.
Yep.
And your question is also not black and white, right? What I would say to you on it is if you are getting more out of it and your family's getting more out of it than is being taken away, right? Obviously the takeaway is the time, but if you are better because you've had the release of the hobby, if you are better off in that 98% of the time that you are giving them instead of 100, if you're able to basically say, all right, I got that out of my system, you know, like it's gone, or I had my release, I had my escape, I had my, you know, I got my work stress out by talking for 15 minutes, and now I'm not going to be worried about it for the other 23 hours and, you know, 45 minutes of the day.
Yeah.
Keep doing your thing. Like that would be the balance that I would do.
That's good. I wish it was 98%. I feel like it's a lot lower, but I want to go longer. I can't. I want to respect your time. Like I know you said you're gonna try and get.
I emailed. I said I need 10 minutes. So you got me. You got me another 8 minutes. If you need.
So I mean, I'm not gonna go down.
Question? You have like a list. You're very prepared.
Well, I didn't have like okay. I do prepare for my episodes. It doesn't seem like it, but I definitely have like you know a structure. I emailed you my show notes, right? I asked you. You know, I said here's the StreamYard link. I'm trying. Look, here's the thing. Like I put effort into it, but I also know I think the reason I feel so free is because you know they say with your content or whatever, like you're your own CEO, right? If you mess up, no one's gonna get upset at you other than yourself, right? You can be your own worst critic, which is something that I've worked on a lot in my life. But there is no deliverable deadline. I mean, I've worked at some companies where there are some deadlines, and that's why I feel like I definitely have been grappling with this whole, like, do I try to monetize or do I try to get sponsors? But the more it feels like a job, the more I kind of shy away from it. But I also know that there is a business in the hobby. Like for some people, it is the hobby, but for some people, it's not a hobby anymore. It's a way of life. It's a way of earning money. It's a business. It's the business.
And nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it either way.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's not something you're ever going to not grapple with. I do it myself. I mean, I come on here like big, you know, pump the chest. I'm not making money off anybody. Well, you know what? If somebody were to call me with the right sponsorship and it's something that I didn't think actually, you know, jeopardized the integrity of it, I would do it. I will tell you, I've had several phone calls from people where they want to, I mean, the news is a great example. I get a call a week. Can I sponsor the news? And I said, okay, but if this company has a record sale in an auction, I'm going to shout that record sale and the place where it's sold in the news. I'm not going to not do that because that's one of your competitors. And all of a sudden, the money is no longer there. So, I mean, I won't take the money then. You know, like that's, you know, it is what it is. You know, that is so remember, there is always going to be that push and pull. And, you know, if you do that with your eyes open and you're, you know, you're honest about it with the people who you're putting the content out there for, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, we definitely got to talk more about that. Maybe either online in a separate episode or offline. But what you say to me really, it means a lot. I mean, you give me the time of day, like before Denny Cards became Denny Cards, all this stuff. Like there are some people that I very much distinctly remember. And you're one of them where you could have, I had nothing. I had no following. I was just a pure, quote unquote, pure collector and not making content. My face was not on social media. And I just reached out saying, hey, great. I really enjoy your podcast and all that. And I was making little clips of you and Andrew. And like, it wasn't my face, it was your faces. And I was just doing it because it was fun. It was like, for me, it was like preserving that memory. And I was kind of like getting a kick out of it. Anything I make, I just like I laugh to myself and I just push it out because I think maybe it'll give someone else a laugh. But like, you gave me the time of day and you really do reach out to everyone who DMs you. Like, of course, I don't know that because I don't. You know, I'm not in all your DMs, but really you do. You really do. And so I appreciate that so much. And it really, I have become a cage loyalist in a way.
Nice.
Because of your kindness.
Some YouTube comments from Cage Minion. That's a fun name. Somebody's a cage minion.
It's not your intelligence or the cards. Like you have these massive cards. Cause I remember you posting the Shaq PMG, which I actually want to talk about before I let you go.
Shoot.
But it's really admirable. Like I feel like you've given me the roadmap or the blueprint as to how to build community. And I'm not just a person of words. I'm a man of action and I'm really trying to build that community. And it's not to monetize my followers or my community. It's because we can't do this alone, like in life too, right? Like, we're not silos. We have to be together, right? So I want to get you out on this question.
True.
Posting just a card. I think recently in your Instagram content, you said, isn't it all about the cards? Isn't it just
the card?
Is that really content? Because in my opinion, and I want to get your thoughts, of course, that's the reason I ask it, is when I see, and nothing against Nat Turner, okay? Like I respect PSA and him and all that, but he'll just post a card and there's no captions. It's like, oh, I just, you know, regraded it.
And or a thousand off. People are like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Thousand,
yeah. There's like the only comments are fire emojis, you know, but it's a lot of likes. So good for Nat, right? But what's the story? What does that card mean to you, right? I mean, to me, content to be hobby content to be content can't just be a picture of a card. What does it mean to the person who posted that card? What's the story? Make me feel something. Make me laugh. Make me cry. Make me cheer you on. Make me feel your daggers that you felt in the loss of the card or something.
So if you can see my face, if you're watching this on YouTube, it's a lion who sees a wounded prey. There's a wildebeest in the close enough by that I know I'm about to eat. This question, it's a great one, right? Because it's one of those, like, I'm a volleyball player about to smack it down.
Here we go.
So you ready for your answer is this.
Yes.
I love what you said. But your answer is this. You would not have a podcast, a platform, mm-hmm. an Instagram page to make content that makes people laugh or builds a community mm-hmm. if it wasn't for the cardboard.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. So is posting the cardboard enough? I'll answer it this way. If you didn't have the cardboard, you wouldn't have anything else. So we have to remember that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that little idea can be taken too far. There are people out there who will say, I'd much rather look at an account that just shows their cards off than someone who doesn't even collect Denny mm-hmm. no cards, making Thank stupid you. Cat videos and blah, there blah, blah. Like people Thank would, you. I guarantee people say this, right? I post those videos for a reason. I'm curious to see what gets more views.
Yeah.
And the card ones never get as many views yeah. as the other ones. Never. Yeah. Now, views don't really matter. No, and you yeah. kind of got to post the cards out there mm-hmm. because, for lack of a better way of saying it, Denny No Cards is not going to be called Denny No Cards if he shows cards. You got to do it every once in a while, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, and also it, you know, it provides some credibility to you as a participant in the hobby and someone who's sure. not just talking out of their ass, someone who's talking yep. because they actually have a vested interest, someone mm-hmm. who has cards, someone who loves. When I post that though, listen, first of all, it could be, you know, like no one cares. You're showing off. You only posted that to sell it. I didn't post that to sell it. It just turned yeah. out one person reached out and was like, I want it. And I'm like, wow. All right, well, let's talk. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you know, I'm there's nothing I own that I won't sell. I mean, some of them you really have to get trucks off for.
Okay.
But I mean, the Shaq PMG, just to give a story of that. So the truth of the matter is it goes back to what we talked about in the beginning on content. There's content for everybody. Some people just love to look at cards.
It's true.
You know, some people just love to look at cards. And I love, like, Kimmy's account.
Oh, gosh.
Like that's amazing because those are cards that no one's ever seen. Some of the yeah. stuff that Matt posts are cards that you just don't see. It's like going to a museum. You don't have to put
true.
Content on there. You don't have to have, you know, a cat or a baby or a meme that goes along with it to make mm-hmm. make somebody smile or laugh or hit the like button because
true.
In those regard, those cards are there mm-hmm. enough themselves. I don't yeah. have too many cards that do that by themselves. Like, you know, even my type ones, they're awesome, but didn't I have to tell you a story about them? I
yeah.
had to make the content around it so you could appreciate it the way that I appreciate it. Yeah. Posting something like that alone is not going to be enough. You have to add to it. Yeah, both are okay. Both are part of this whole little universe of the hobby that we're creating. So the Shaq PMG, that was an interesting thing. And I mean, I didn't talk about it in detail, but basically I was lucky enough to own a lot of cards and buy a lot of cards before there was a huge, you know, run up.
Yeah.
That Shaq PMG was not one of them. And it ties together a lot of what people are going to call dark, you know, stuff, dark yeah. episodes, dark content. But I bought a lot of cards I loved. I sold a lot of cards at profit. Yeah. I sold a lot of cards. I paid taxes on it. Like I sold, mm-hmm. you know, I did fine, right? Because I was lucky enough to be involved in this hobby before the, you know, run up on a lot of things. But then when I sold, I'm like, all right, there are these cards that everybody says I'm supposed to have, like PMGs. I bought yeah. the Shaq PMG in 2022, probably at its peak of peaks.
Oh,
you know yeah. what I mean? And yeah. so it's a card. I'm sure in 10 years it will sell for more money than what I sold it for. Definitely more than what I bought it for. If someone's willing to take that card and put it in their collection and own it and be an owner of that card rather than hope that they're going to buy it from me and sell it in 6 months or a year for yeah. 20% more, because that, I don't know the likelihood of that. 10-year window, I'm pretty confident about. 6 month, 1 year, 2 year, maybe break even. I will tell you, I did not lose money on the card.
Okay.
And when I had the opportunity to move the card and not lose money on it, make money on it, you know, and then for me, that's the that was the right move at the time, because I believe, at least in the near term, I would have more fun with that money. In my episode, I talk about like stock market is going to be better for the money.
Yeah.
Maybe I put some of it in the stock market. Maybe I put some of it into stuff like these pictures. You know what I mean? Stuff that I enjoy. Maybe yeah. buy some wax and open it with my son, and it has a better ROI in my brain than just sitting on that card. That's kind of the best that I can do.
I know you got to go. I'm going to have you do final plug and words, but to that, I just wanted to say, like, you know, how dare you make money from the hobby? It's like these pure collectors. It's like they have a money tree that grows in the back, and they just buy up all these cards and they hoard them. But it's like, listen, like, my end goal is not to make money. It's to self-fund my hobby habit. And like, if I want to rip wax, I gotta make the money, but I don't want to keep dipping into the family account. I want to like self, you know, make it self-sufficient. So I got to sell my cards on eBay and all that stuff. So for me, I know everyone's motives are different. Some people, it is their living and they got to pay the, you know, the rent, the mortgage, to put food on the table. But I'm glad that I'm not in that position. You're not in that position. And I think that it just makes you more free. I think, again, going back to reporting the news and not losing that integrity by, you know, like if some auction house tells you you can't talk about the other auction house. I mean, that I think that is the difference between the editorial board side of a newspaper and the the marketing arm of the Correct. Newspaper. So I think that's really great. So perfect timing for you to be on. I really appreciate you, Tage, for everything.
Appreciate you do, man.
Thank you very much.
You're doing your thing. And I'll come back on. It seems like we could talk for like 4 hours. So
we really could. So before I let you go, final plug, last words, other than bucketdipper.com, what would you like to plug?
Oh, so I get to plug whatever I want to plug?
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. It's great. Most people would take the opportunity to just say, you know, here's my podcast, here's my Instagram page. Make sure you follow me to hold it. I'm not going to do that. All right. So what I'm going to do is this. Follow Denny. Follow the Hobby Thompson, Hobby S. Thompson, stuff. Go ahead and take a look at that. Follow him if you can. And act with a little bit of grace, folks. If you happen to be listening to this and you're one of the people who gives him a hard time, put yourself in his shoes for a minute. You know what I mean? It's not the easiest thing in the world to be dealing with someone like you, you know, who's giving him a little hatred. And yet, you know what? Here's the best part. The best thing I can give. He still wakes up the next day after you give him shit and comes on and does his thing. Comes on and posts his meme, comes on and posts his content. And that's somebody who's here for the hobby. He's going to take your shot and he's just going to keep moving forward. I mean, there's my plug.
That's so nice of you. There are definitely people who through up to this second of this podcast have hate listened. People hate listen to me all the time. It's like they tell me how much they don't like me and yet they can't get enough of my content. It's wild. I don't understand it, but
tweak their own. From Private Parts. If you remember this one, right? Pig vomit, you know, Giamatti, right? He had a study done about, you know, Howard Stern, because he's trying to fire him. And they said the average Stern fan listens for an hour and a half. And they said, really? Listen? Why do they listen for so long? And he says, the answer is they want to see what he's going to say next.
Yeah.
Well, the average Stern hater listens for 2 hours. I said, how can that be? If they hate him, why are they listening to longer than they like him? And the average answer given, they want to hear what he has to say next. So take it as a compliment. Even the haters, they want to hear what you have to say.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Cage. Y'all have been excellent. Can't wait to publish this one, but you got to get back. Thank you. Really. Thank you for everything you do. And thank you for that final plug. Have me on yours. All right. Let's have them
come on. But I am much tougher than you as a host.
Oh yeah. No, you're,
we're going to get into like, you know, who Denny is and why he is not Denny No Cards. Like, I'm going to need you to bring show and tell. I'm going to need proof. I need a birth certificate. Oh, I mean, there are birthers out there about you. People think you might've been born in Kenya.
I'm an industry plan. They did. Yeah. I was genetically created in a lab by Fanatics. It's an AI robot, really. I mean, it's not really me. Thank you, Cage. You be well.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.